Now, okay, so we can start this lecture. I hope we are not going to be disturbed by Bran Velse, for the now it was in building K, so it's Fadi, it's Finnish. So no, it was not K, it was A, our building when we have office. It was not here in this building, so we should wait if we should be disturbed or not. Let's see, it will be surprise or not. But what's prepare for these two lectures, what we should do. For today, we are going to spend time with PDC A model. We are still working with this book. And according to Forelesing plan, we are almost in the middle of this part ethic. And we have like 5 lectures which should be done. And the one lecture, it's like ethic and Samsung's answer in praxis. I'm a little bit dealing with one manager from Neumann Technology. He probably will come if he find the time. So let's see if he will come or not. And if he will, then I would like to invite you and come like a lot of people. It will be nice. But if I will have the feedback from him, I let you to know which day and which time it will be. But let's see. And today we should spend time with this PDCA model, like whole lecture. What we did the lecture before, we were speaking about concrete examples of social pillar, economy pillar, very small about environmental pillar. I didn't speak so much because Aris was speaking a little bit more about this part. We was using some terms like cost-related marketing, matching fund, global reporting initiative, cafeteria system, and the G4 reporting. This is what we did the lecture before. What we are doing in seminars, we are almost finished with obligatorisk obgave. This week, this Friday, I'm going to spend obgave with the last part of your obligatorisk obgave. It will be about implementing of some concrete action in your case company, an economy part, social part, or environmental part. And I will again use my case company as an example for you. So if you would like to come, we are going to spend time together and working on your obligatorisk obgave on this last part. Because if I remember, it is the 1st of November, it is the deadline for your obligatorisk obgave. So this is what we are going to do this Friday. Today, according to the Pensum book, I'm going to speak about chapter 17. There is like one slide which is concerning about chapter 14. So it will be a little bit more your job to read the chapter 14, but it is not a difficult reading. It's very easy. Some inspiration also from Norway. So read chapter 14, and I'm going to spend like whole lecture with chapter 17 today. So what we are going to do today? Today we are going to learn this PDCA model, PDCA model. And I prepared for you some examples with concrete actions in some company. And also you can use this model in your obligatorisk obgave in this last part, which we are going to spend also on Friday. So it will be like the theory. On Friday we try a little bit to practice, and then you can use this on your obligatorisk obgave to finish the last part of this. And at the end of this lecture, I prepare like a small inspiration how to prepare like a report about the CSR activities, not using this GRA standard, because we were speaking it costs some money and somebody should make like audit for you. So it is not necessary to have this GRA reporting initiative and use this G4 sustainable reporting. So I'm going to spend a little bit time like example how the company can perform CSR activities according to their way, not because of using some standards. So This is the slide I said. It's about the chapter 14, and it is about the drivers of CSR. I was speaking about this in the lectures before, so I just put it here just in context. And what does it mean? What does it mean, the drivers? Drivers of CSR means that who is like people or stakeholders who make the pressure on the company to do the CSR activities. It could be any stakeholders of the company, but I put here some most important stakeholders which make the huge pressure on the company to decide to do some activities according to CSR. Top managers and shareholders, it could be like the one group. It is a group of stakeholders which are most important in the company. And if they decided, if they believe that this concept will be working, it will be very easy to implement this in the real action of the company. But also there is like the side from the market side. It is a side of customers and suppliers who can make the huge pressure on the company to decide it to deal with the CSR actions. If you have like market which the customers are highly interested about environment, about social things and so on, and you are in this sector, you're producing your goods or have services in this, it is also very effective, because if the customers would like have this concept, I believe that each company is doing everything to reach their values, their wishes in this. On the side of suppliers, this concept is starting to be important in global economy, because if you're producing the things in the markets where the customers are interesting about these topics, and you have suppliers from other part of the world, also you like a company make the pressure on the suppliers to be more environmental friendly, to be more social friendly, and so on. There was one case from IKEA, from the history of the IKEA company. They had the problem with some suppliers from the third world because they're using child work, and people, like customers of the IKEA, was not able to accept it. So IKEA should deal with this and find new suppliers or make a new strategy of choosing suppliers, or make the pressure on the suppliers stop with this type of behavior. So it is also like the drivers of these activities. And the last, maybe not least, it is a government and society, civil society. Again, this is very concerning about the location of your company, where your company is located. There are some different pressures if you have a company in Norway, or if you have a company in China or India or other type of world. And the pressure of the government can be strong. And it should be like, and then it is not about just about CSR, because it's about legal, it is about some law. So if it is the law, you should do that. It is not the CSR. You should do everything what is according to law. But if in the land is not the strong law, it could be some other pressures, some standards, like also using this ISO 26000 and so on. So it could be, again, like the pressure from the government or from civil society. But this is what we speak a little bit before, but it goes a little bit with the topic what we are going to do today. And this is the topic that I would like to spend a little bit more and use it a little bit more concrete and give some concrete example. This model, this PDCA model, it's not necessary to be used only in the CSR. It is the model, it is the way of thinking that you can use in different part of management, different part of organization of the company. So you can use it, and it could be implemented. In your book, it is not written like in these 10 steps. It is a little bit easy way. I put it a little bit more deep, a little bit more concrete, because I believe that this model can help you to implement a lot of things, not just in CSR case. You can use it. For example, if you are writing some bachelor obgave and you have some topic, you can use this model to implement something in the company. But let me to draw just basic picture on the table. because then we are going to use each point and not to be lost where we are. So I just put very easy like the circle. There is like one box of the planning part. There is like one box of execution. There will be like one box of evaluation. And there will be like one box of improvement. Before we are going to go one point, second, and continue, it's important in this CSR case to speak about stakeholders' engagement. If you are preparing any CSR strategy or any CSR action, it is very effective if you engage stakeholders in each parts of the cycle, in planning, implementing, or improving. So engagement is very important and helps you to be more effective and sufficient according to concrete actions. But let's start with the first part. It will be the planning. And first point is management commitment. Management commitment. What does it mean and why is this first point so important? Management commitment is about managers and it is about engage of the managers in CSR topic. If managers believe that this concept helps and if they really would like to implement this, it is the first, the best starting point for the company as a whole. And this engagement can starting from the shareholders or from the owners because they are the owners and they are the shareholders of the company. And if they believe that this concept is important for the company and they say to the managers, you should do something in this topic. And if the manager is really satisfied and he would like to do this, it helps. Because if the managers and if the shareholders believe that the concept is effective for the company, it is the first effective starting point as a whole. The next, second point, this is the point which we did last lectures. It is like identifying of stakeholders, but be more specific in this key stakeholders. We was using this Mitchell boxes, maybe you remember the circles above type of stakeholders, and also this point, like the second part of the planning, is important because it helps you to find the concrete strategies for concrete stakeholders. So you need to know who is your key stakeholders. So in the planning, spend a little bit time with key stakeholders. Because each CSR actions should be due for some concrete stakeholders. And then it is effective because then you can find the concrete values which they have and then you can prepare concrete actions for this. We was using stakeholders in the lectures before. The third part, it's about setting values and principles. So now your managers would like to make CSR. You know who is your stakeholders. You know who is like the key stakeholders. And then you need to know the values of these stakeholders. And if you know the values of the stakeholders, you can prepare the principles of the CSR strategy in your company. So the third point is about values. And principles. These values, if you would like to know the values of your stakeholders, you can use some quantitative, qualitative methods, question marks. You can make a dialogue or something like that. So it takes time. It's some the process to get to know the values of your stakeholders. And if you know these values, you can prepare like the principles of your CSR strategy. What is the most important? What we would like to concentrate about? And as I told you, I prepare and I put some concrete examples how to deal with this. Here there are some groups of stakeholders and you can find what type of values they have. And it can change. You have different companies, you have different stakeholders. It is just very easy example. So you can see owners and investors. It could be they would like to be interested about profit. Maybe they could be interested about transparency. Maybe both together. It depends on type of company, on type of owners and so on. I just put here like the transparency. For example, customer here is like the personal approach. It could be in the company, for example, which is dealing with some services and they need the personal approach. It could be different. It could be quality. It could be delivery time. It could be, I don't know, it depends. So this is what the company should know. Who is my stakeholder and which type of values they have, what they would like from my company. For example, you can see NGO, active support, cooperation, active cooperation with the company. So you should prepare like the list of stakeholders and list of their values. There I put like the examples of some CSR principles. What type of principles could you prepare? Because we was working with the mission, we was working a little bit with the vision and a little bit with the values of the company. So you can also have like the list of CSR values. Maybe you can have everything together in one mission, in one statement. It depends on the company. But here is like the examples of principle. For example, we care about the local region. We respect the local culture and tradition and so on. So this is what you should have from this part. Values and principles. Then you are still in the planning process. You are still doing nothing. We are still in the planning process in the first part of this model. And the next is analysis of your current situation. So four, analysis of your current situation. And in this part, you can use some different models. We was using a little bit SWOT analysis in some seminars. You can use different type of the way how to find where is our current situation. Normally, you would like to know the intern side and extern side of your current situation. And it's everything is dealing about CSR activities. So if you are interested about this internal aspects, I again put here some examples. First, like the beginning, you should know what is the law, what is like some requirements from the government in this part. It is the just the basic, which you should start with this. And then you can continue, you can find your concrete methods, your concrete tools, what you are using now. Sometimes, for example, if you would like to work with the concept in some concrete company, and before they didn't use any concept, any strategy of CSR, and you are making this analysis, you find out they are finally using a lot of tools, a lot of activities, but they just didn't know or didn't just put the names of this activity. So it can help the company to know where they are. Then if you finish with this internal analysis, you can starting with the second part, like the external analysis of your current situation. And in this part, it's possible to use also benchmarking. Maybe you remember from marketing strategy, this benchmarking, which is trying to find who is the best in the CSR activities and measure or compare you with this best examples. You can find some case studies, and it's very important, and it can help if you know your competitors and if you are able to understand their CSR strategies, their concrete activities, what they have. You can compare you and your competitors. So, and also you can get some inspiration from some articles, from some United Nations strategies and so on. Aris was speaking about some sustainable development in 2030 actions and something like that. So it is like the analysis of internal and external current situation of your company. And then you are on the five step of the planning. We are still on the planning, so you can see the planning part is very important of any actions, what you are doing. And the five point is setting an objective. Objectives, setting objectives. And in this part, it is very clever to spend a little bit time and have a good objectives. It's not easy to set objectives. I don't know, but probably I think you were speaking a little bit about in this Wiedergehende Methode Kurs, probably some objectives, how to set the good objectives, because you can have quantitative objective, you can have qualitative objective. It could be broader, it should be smaller, it should be like one objective, and then you have five small objectives which can reach the object which is on the top. So this is not easy way how to set the object, because if you set the object which is not good understand for everybody, then you are not able to prepare good action and get on reach what you want. I prepare for you example of some objectives, but these objectives are like very small and very concrete. But it could be like the example what can the company like to prepare in some part of CSR. Because we were speaking that we have like social part, economy part, and social environmental part. So you can have like one object in each part and then set of small objectives. It could be 10, 20, I don't know. So I put here some examples. For example, environmental management of suppliers. It's like you would like have your suppliers which have some environmental behaving. You would like to choose. So it is just easy way. We would like to have some cooperation with suppliers which have environmental behaving. It could be like the object. It could be more specified. But here in this example it's like that. Then, for example, the green one, promote the use of bicycle for commuting to work. You would like probably like as a whole company a little bit motivate people on environmental friendly behaving. So you set up like the object, I would like to promote using the bicycles in my employees group. It could be like that. So, but it depends what type of company, what type of objective. This is just the example. So, and if you have like the objectives, then you can starting with some concrete planning how to reach this object. It is still planning, it is action plan. So 6 point is action plan. So, it means that you know what you would like to do, and then you need to prepare like a little bit concrete plan. Who will do it? What is the time we would like to reach the object? How much capacity we have and something like that. But I know you know this type of thinking from the years before. But again, going to our examples. Again. Some examples for which was before. If I choose this much more easy, the last one, the green, there is like installation of bike rigs. There should also stay time, who will do it, how much it will cost. Very concrete. Then we had like these examples with, I didn't read it before, but this is this pink one. And this pink one was about that the object was that the company would like to support employees to prepare some actions in local community. They would like to support employees. And there they are writing, the creation of employee grant program for the support of employees who are active in and want to do something positive for the local community. So prepare like the concrete financial schema, how much money, who can apply for the money, how long is the period, who will choose the program and something like that. So it is like the action plan, very concrete description what you are going to do. And after the 6 point, we are finished with the planning part. So you are saying that the planning, the preparing for any actions takes a lot of time. And this time, if it is used effectively, it could make much more effects at the end than if you just use it very, it's not so difficult, it's not necessary to spend so much time. So this part is very important for the company to preparing a good concrete action. It is more about action, this PDCA model, not so much about strategy, because it's more concrete activities in the company. Okay, then we can continue in 7, and we are moving like this. It is like the circle. We are moving to next part, and it's execution. According the numbers, it's number 7, implementation. Implementation. Now, implementation, it's that the things happened. Time is going and the things are happened. Nothing more in this part. Things are happened. Then, if you finish with the implementation, it could take 1 week, whole year, 2 years, 10 years, I don't know what was the plan. Then you came to the next part of this model, and it's evaluation. And the number, we have 8, monitoring. Monitoring. This part of monitoring is important to know if you reach the aim, if you reach the objective or not. If you would like to be really satisfied with this part of monitoring, you can work a little bit on the monitoring here in these two parts, objectives and actions. You can prepare before, like what should be the results, what I should measure after the actions and after the objectives, to know a little bit before. Because if you came here in this 8 point, you are after the implementation process and it's not able to change. So here in this 2 part, objectives and action, a little bit thinking about monitoring will be like the qualitative monitoring and will be like the quantitative monitoring. Will be like, for example, in this, if you here, for example, put, I would like to reduce some pollution. But you should be more concrete. What type? Is it about waste of water? It is about waste of, I don't know, electricity. And here put, write the concrete numbers. Like, I would like to reach this aim, for example. And if you go here, after the implementation, you are getting the number. For example, waste of the amount of using electricity during one year or one week or I don't know. So this part is important, but if you prepare a little bit before what you would like to measure, you can get much more objective, much more concrete results. But before I give you some examples, we should have like the small break. So not now. No, its break is okay, I'm still like 15 minutes before. I'm sorry. So we can continue. So we in our examples, this monitoring, we have like 8. And we have these examples, what we had before. And we can again choose the example with the bicycles. And it is like the number of bicycles parking space, number of employees using this space. So before you said, I would like to interest our employees to using the bicycles, then you prepare some place where they can using or putting their bikes. And now you would like to know who is using the bikes, if they're using this or not, or something like that. So it's very concrete way. Then the example with the employees and starting some local community actions. It's like a number of projects submitted, number of projects being supported, total amount spent on support for projects. So again, you would like to know, you prepare like the project for employees. They would like probably help the community. And now you would like to know how many employees were interesting about this project. Did they really apply for some money? Does actually happen something or not? So it is the examples of monitoring. And if you are finished with this, you prepare some reporting. Number 9, you are still in evaluation reporting. Reporting. We was speaking about GRA reporting, this G4, but in this PDCM model, it's not about this statements which goes like out. It is about the reporting which staying inside, because you are preparing the model in your company, for your company, for your case. And this reporting is very important for stakeholders. Because if we go back and there you prepare like the case stakeholders, you know their principal values, you know current situation, and prepare concrete objectives and concrete actions, then you know what's happened. You should inform your stakeholders. Because whole CSR activities are for stakeholders. It's not effectively for company doing CSR, just doing CSR. It's much more effective to doing concrete CSR for your concrete stakeholders. And if you did something for them, you should tell them that you did something, that you trying to reach their values, trying to help them on solve some maybe problem or interest in your company. And it is the examples with the... Oh, I didn't put the slide here. I made a mistake. Okay, sorry. So for the example, for example, with the bicycles, which the employees can using, maybe you in the company, you have some place where you put some information for employees. You can prepare for them information. Our company prepare for you new space for parking your bicycles. And this project was used with 10 employees. It was, for example, not so effective. Was it effective? Or I don't know. So prepare the information for employees that you as a company did this project to reach this aim. And then if you inform them, they probably know. And it can help in next steps to change the situation. Because sometimes it's happened that company is doing a lot, for example, for employees. And if you, for example, ask the employees, what your employer is doing for you? I don't know. I don't reach anything what he is doing. But then finally open the web page and they are writing, we are doing for employees this, we support this, and this. And if you speak with the concrete employees, they sometimes know completely anything. What is the support? So, and it is about the communication and it's about the reporting. So this part is very important, and I will spend the next lecture a little bit about this, how it should look like. And for example, if we have this P pink example with employees and local community, you can also prepare like the statement or some information for local community that there is this project, and also for employees that there is this project and what was the result, how many employees use this and if this reached the aims or not. So this slide is not okay. I will take it away because it is the same was it before. And then you are going to next step. It will be number 10. And it is new box. It's improvement. Improvement. Okay, so now we are almost at the end of the circle, and it's improvement. The last part is improvement. In this part, you should not stop your work. You should trying to continue to find new aims, new objectives, because this model is about like the circle. You are never going to stop. You should still reach the new aims, and you should be like the better and better in each situation. So if you know what was the plan, there was like implementation, now you know what's happened. So now it's time for improvement. Was it okay? Did you reach the aim? Or are you satisfied? Are stakeholders satisfied or not? So in this part, you should know this information, and in this part you should make some new change. Again, with our examples, for example, in this part with the bikes, you as a company decided to make this action, CSR actions. You prepare some place for employees, but finally you find out that, for example, 1% of employees using the bicycles, not so much, and you inform them, you give them report, and still nothing is happened. So probably you should know what they are thinking, like the employees, like the stakeholders, about this topic. Maybe they don't want, they are not interesting, maybe they are interesting, but they need something more. And according to the example, the company find out that if the employees using the bikes in the office, then they came and they are completely sweat and they don't want to sit in the office like sweat, not smelling good, and it is because they don't have a possibility, if they cycling, stop the bicycle and take a shower and then change the clothes and then working. These small things makes the stakeholders, like employees, say, I don't want to drive, I don't want to use bicycle in the office because of this. And the company probably prepare some question mark in this part, get this information, get the feedback, get the information that employees, they would like to using the bikes, they are thinking it's good, but they said if you would like to use the bike, we need to have like the restroom to place where we can change the clothes and make it like a nicer, not like a sweat after cycling. So the company, if they are still interesting about the topic, they would like to spend the money for this, they are thinking it's important for them and for employees, they can build up new restroom or place where they could change. So it could be the example, like the improvement of the process. And then again, it could goes again the circle with this concrete example. Then you are planning, preparing the restroom, who will pay it, how it will cost and how time it will take, and then again supporting the project of the cycling, and finally implementation, going back, monitoring reports, probably now 30% of employees using the bicycles. I don't know, it is just the example. And again, coin here, and again ask the employees, should we do more, not maybe prepare some special, and I heard, and it was one example from one company, they decided to use this example, and they finally prepared like the competition between departments. It was like, you are from the selling departments, you are from the production, and they prepare like the table, how many kilometers each employee is using to the job and back, and there was like the winner of the department. This department was using bike most and drive using the bicycle most of the kilometers, and then, for example, get some present or some team building activities, or I don't know. So it is the example, very concrete, small example of some CSR action. So, but you can, it is not, CSR is not just about the using the bicycles in the work, but it is just the example how you can reach this improvement process in a concrete example. Again, we were still speaking about the second one. It was this pink one. And the improvement is allow employees to actively participate in the supported project during the work hours. So, company decided they would like to communicate or cooperate with local community, but engage employees in this process. So, and they had some project, they help local community, but here they find out that it was not enough, probably. The employees were not motivated, they don't want to do any actions in the local community, and again, probably some question mark or something, I don't know. And then find out that the employee said, I would like to use the local community, but I don't have a time, it's my time, I should do it in my free time. So, and probably company decided, okay, if you have, for example, so much interesting project, which is interesting for us as a company, which is interesting for you, maybe one day in 1 week you can use on this project from your working time. It's about the decision of the company and so on. So it is concrete example. And again, here, for example, two employees were using this process of implementation. And again, at the end, they found out, was it effective, was not effective, and maybe it is so effective, so they can find more. Maybe then say, no, it is not so effective for a company as a whole, so we can stop with this type of project or with this type of thinking. But it is about the model, how to use it in a concrete action. So, we are finished with this PDCA model. This PDCA model, Plan, Do, Check, Act. This short PDCA is Plan, Do, Check, Act. I'm sorry, maybe I didn't mention at the beginning. Plan, Do, Check, Act. But it is on the first page where is this circle, because it's here like Plan, Do, Check, Act, these parts. And this model you can use not just for CSR, and you can use for other different actions. But according to our topic and according to our obligatoris obgave, you can use this model in the last part, because in the last part of your obligatoris obgave is written that you should thinking which part from environmental, which part from economy, and which part from social part should company change. Maybe you can find some one concrete example and using this model and put it a little bit more concrete. It's up to you. It depends what type of obgave you are writing. And during this Friday, I'm going using this model in my case company and saying what they should change and trying to implement through this model. And now we have break, 15 minutes. Teď nic?
No.
No, det er ingenting som kommer ut. Så, fordi det er ingenting som står her. Før det var som... Ja, kanskje som her? Nei, det går ingenting. Går ingenting som... Nei.
No? Men jeg må puste. No?
Eller kanskje her? Skal vi se?
Men det fungerer ikke. Det er som unnskyld.
Так, let's see this. Skal vi se? Okay. We can start the second part. I'm sorry that I didn't see you at the beginning. What does it PDCA mean? It's plan, do, check, act. Now we know it. It is here on this picture. I'm sorry about this. What I'm planning speaking about the second part of this lecture, it's the CSR report. This part about the CSR report is not the part of your Pensum book. This is something I would like to talk about because it could be the example which you can use in your obligatorist obgave, because you are probably reading a lot of report from your case company, and you can see that sometimes you understand what is inside, sometimes you don't understand what is inside, how does it mean or what does it mean. So maybe it is also like the example that you can prepare on the on the last part of your obligatorisk obgave, like what the company should change in some parts. Maybe you recommend them to change the way how they preparing the reports, and like what like you, like a stakeholders, would you like to have in this type of reports? So you can use it like the inspiration in your part, what changes could be done in your case company. We were speaking about GRA, G4 reporting, the lecture before. I gave you some concrete examples about one concrete measurement from this. But today I'm going to spend time with reports which you can use in a small companies, huge companies, in every type of companies according to CSR topics. And it's up the company if they decided to prepare some report, to have no report. It's not necessary to have any report. You can behave socially responsibly, you can do such of things, and it's not necessary to have this type of communication. If you communicate with your stakeholders a different way, have a dialogue or discussion what you are doing as a company, it's not necessary to prepare like the special report about your behaving. If your communication strategy is so good that the employees or other groups of stakeholders know what you are doing, it is the best way. It is not necessary to prepare something more. If you have a discussion, they know what you are doing, and if they are satisfied, it's enough. But this pressure on the companies to preparing this type of reports goes from extend part of stakeholders, a lot of from non-governmental organization, because they would like to know what the company is doing. It goes also from investors, because if they would like to invest in some company, they would like to know company as a whole, not just financial reports, not just accounts, but they would like to know what the company is doing as a whole. So there are some pressures from the externals, stakeholders, which make the pressure on the company to preparing some types of reporting. And what should be in this type of report? It depends on the company, what is inside. It depends who is using this report. You can have one report as like one company, but you can have more reports which can be for more different groups of stakeholders. You can have different report for employees. You can have different reports for your customers. You can have different reports for your suppliers and so on. It depends what type of company you are and what type of stakeholders you have and which stakeholders are interesting about about this type of report. I put here some three words which are important if you would like to prepare like a good report. The first one is competence. It means that your report should be complete. Sometimes it's not easy to understand what is in the report because you don't know the context of the report. You don't know the company. You don't know what they are producing, which type of market they have, and so on. So if you would like to prepare like the good report, you should make your report very completely, just to give the introduction of your company and also like your market and your position on the market. Then it can help the readers to understand what type of company you are and what type of activities you should do and you are doing. So the second part is, or second word is, right, like the credibility. This means that if you are preparing some report, that you know that it will be read by some type of stakeholders, they should give the information what they need and what are important for them. And this information should be in the context, not just one information, second information, but they should understand, like, as a whole context, why you are doing such a different type of actions. And in this part, you should thinking about the next term. It's like transparency. About the transparency, you should not cover some topic with other topics, because sometimes it goes a little bit opposite way, that one group of stakeholders, they would like to this, and the second one would like that. But you should be like the transparent if you would like to have like the credibility of your report. Then the third part is about the format of your CSR report. If you open some CSR reports, you can see a lot of nice pictures, a lot of interesting informations, but sometimes it's like 150 pages, sometimes more, and it's not easy to read. So you should a little bit thinking also about the readers and which type of information should be inside. Not everything is necessary, and you should prepare the report which is able to read. Use language which is easy to read, not so difficult. But it depends. If you would like to have like one report which is for every stakeholders, which is not divided in some different part, it will be sometimes difficult, because you have different type of stakeholders and they're using different type of language and so on. So it's, the recommendation is to prepare different reports for different group of stakeholders, because they also need the different data which are inside. Not every stakeholders should know everything what the other should know. For example, investors and employees and non-governmental organization, they probably they don't get every completely the same information which is inside. Here I put like four basic elements according to CSR reporting, but I'm going through this a little bit more deeply in next slides. And these four steps are not so important. It's much more important the concrete parts which should be, or which are recommended to be in your CSR report. The first, but again, it's not necessary to have like first, second, third. It is like the inspiration what the company can put inside of the report. The first point is like introduction by the CAO, and it's like it's very important if you are the part of mother companies in a holding and is such a type of the company. It's important to know which part is your company is and who is like the mother company and what is the content like as a whole. Sometimes this type of information are covered. It's not easy to know which company is the part of which holding, and this information, it is about the decision of the company. If they are decided to be transparent in this part, they are putting this information, if they are decided not to be transparent in this part, it's about the decision. Whole CSR concept is about voluntary. I can see it could be good, but if the company, like the managers and stakeholders, they don't want, nobody can make the pressure to put this information in this type of reports. This type of information should be in some financial statements and so on. But we are in the part of CSR which is voluntary, and it's about the decision. If I would like to be transparent as a company, to show if I'm the part of this holding and who is the mother of the holding and so on, so I should put the information to this report because it makes the context. The readers know who is the owner and something like that. But I'm saying I'm not able to make the pressure on the companies on this part. Basic information about the product, about the services, where is the location of the company, where are they producing things, where are they selling things, because it could change. Sometimes you are producing things in China and selling them in the United States, something opposite and something like that. So this is about the context, where the company is and what they are doing. Then some little bit intern information like human resources, number of employees, organizational structure. It can go with the last financial results. It's again, if the company would like to be transparent, they have this information. It's like the recommendation how it could be. So financial results like sales revenues, how much you are paying taxes in different countries, different markets, I don't know, it's about the company. But what is very important in the such of statements, make like the definition of CSR. How your company is understanding this concept? Because we were speaking that there is not like one definition which is used. So if you are preparing the CSR statements like report, let your stakeholders know how you understand this topic, because from this it means that you are behaving in the next part. So let's make the definition of CSR, how you understand the CSR like the company. Corporate commitment, it's about values, principles, mission statement, ethical standard, like put your statements in this report because it is the basic from your vision statement, from your mission, from your values, you are preparing all actions which coming. Report summary. It's happened that these sustainable reports are maybe 100 pages, maybe more if you are like global company. But not everybody would like to read everything, so probably you can prepare something like report summary. Like for each group of stakeholders, what is important, which part they can read or they should read on something like that. Like make the structure of your report and say what is important for which type of stakeholders and which part they should probably read. It could be like that. Or you can have like the report of the results. It depends. Objective for next year. This part is interesting, but if you are going to read some reports, you are not going to find this part. It's not often that companies put their objectives for next year or next future. But if you would like to make a good, interesting report, it's important because it's like you are saying that I would like to improve, I would like to change, I would like to do more. So preparing like the objective for next year. So it is like the first introduction part about the company. Who is the company? Where they are producing things? How many employees they have? What are the values of the company? And some report and basic information. Then we are going a little bit more deeper using more information about CSR and CSR management. I know that you have also some strategy subject with Anne-Grete, and this CSR strategy can go with the strategy of the company together. It's not effective if these two strategies going besides. it should go together. And you should know what is the strategy of the company, what is the strategy for CSR. Maybe it is just one strategy. It is also possible. But according to this report, it's important to know what is the, like, the whole strategy, because these strategies go together, they can support, and also readers can understand why you are doing these things in CSR, because they understand what is the strategy of your company. CSR priorities, this is more about concrete things. What is the priorities, for example, in employee part, like the social part? What is the priorities on environmental part? What is your priorities in economy part? And this is more concrete. This is what we did a little bit today. More concrete actions are what you are going to do. CSR benefits, it's you should also be able to see, to say, what I'm expected, what should be the benefits from these actions. And then you can find if you reach them or not, but let the readers know what you would like to get from this type of actions. Human resources and CSR and CSR management, these two can be together. It's about who is responsible for CSR actions in your company. It could be concrete name, CSR manager. It could be owner of the company. It could be, I don't know. So let the readers know who is responsible for CSR in the company, and probably in different parts, in social, economy, environment. I don't know. It depends on the type of company. And again, it goes with employees. Probably if we have like this example with the employees which would like to be part of local community and support local community, you can also prepare a little bit concrete which type of employee is doing which type of project. Be more concretely, because it's about transparency. Then there is like the list of key stakeholders, and I told you that you are doing things in CSR to reach the values of the stakeholders. And if you're preparing the report, it's easy for them to read the report if they know which part they should read, what part is mine, what I can be interested about. Then I prepare like more, it's like non-commercial partners. Sometimes it's interesting, maybe important, it depends. Sometimes your company is cooperation with some partners which are not from the market. And they are some non-governmental organization and other institution. And it is also information to other stakeholders. Who is my partner? Which type of non-governmental organization I am working with? And so on. And then you have like the third part of your report. And this is the part which is the most concrete, which is about the concrete actions, about the concrete CSR activities. This could be the part what we have here, like the concrete objectives, concrete actions, concrete results in each pillar, social, economy, and environmental. And if you would like to prepare like the good report, you should try also put some measurement. It could be quantitative, qualitative, but if you reach these objectives or not. So you can use this PDCA model and use concrete examples into your sustainability report. We would like to make this, we made this, and we were successful or not. And be concrete. And maybe you have some examples now. If you read the sustainability report from some companies, sometimes they are very nice, very interesting, but finally if you read them, you find out there is nothing so much concrete information. It's like very but what is concrete? So it's again, it is voluntary, and I'm saying how it could be if there will be like the good, but it's about the company, how they decided to prepare this statement and why they are hiding or not hiding these things. I don't know. I'm not the owner of these companies. And these results, if they are quantitative, and we was last lecture checking one quantitative index. Maybe you remember it was the index about this, how much people is going back after parental holiday according to GRA standard. And we were checking it in three companies, and it was in each company was completely different the way how they reach with this index. So it's up to you. If you show the readers, for example, how your index is prepared, how the concretely data go there, it's much more transparent than just write one sentence. It's like, this index is positive. But it's about the decision of the company and about the transparency according to these things. But this part, this performance, it's more concrete. What concrete actions you did in which concrete part of CSR. Then it's like the last, not the last part, but last example, what you should implement in your report statement. And it's, I would like to spend a little bit of time with this audit. For example, you can, if you would like to reach the transparency and credibility of your report, you can ask cert parts or cert organization to check your report. If you are using the reports which have like the standards like this GRA, they are an institute and a system how and who is able to check your report. But sometimes it's happened, and also you can find the examples that the companies which are preparing some reports like by their own way, they can ask some institution which has like the recommendation of solid on transparency organization and check your report and the activities which are behind the report. For example, and I'm sure that Aris will be speaking about the corruption, and if you working with the organization, now I forgot the name, Transparency, what is the name in English? This organization which is checking if there is no corruption and if everything is legal. Transparency International. I think it is this organization, Transparency Organization, Transparency International. And for example, if this organization will check your report according, for example, the corruption, it is more valid for your partners or for your investors than if you just you as a company say, I am not taking or I am not have any, I'm not doing any corruption things. So it is about this audit that the cert organization which is not in the contact with you can check your behaving in some different parts of CSR, or you can use some institutes which are, for example, in environmental part, and we are going to spend the time with this, you can use standard ISO 14001, and it is the standard how you should implement environment policy in your company. And if you implement this, you are getting some certificate from audit institution. And this is also what it could be the part of your statement, because somebody other check that you are behaving environmentally friendly according some statement. Then I would like to spend time a little bit with list of performance indicators. This is much more easy for readers to know which type of indicators did you decided to use. Aris was speaking about some indicators from United Nations, also one indicator from some Statistic Bureau of Norway, and one from Sustainable Development. I was using in my seminars examples from United Nations Sustainable Development indicators in your case company. And if you are preparing the report and if you are using this type of index, it's very clever if you prepare the list of the index and what is the part of the index and how you really complete this index according to your company. But it's not necessary to using the index from this organization. You can prepare your own index, which could be implement in your company. And if you using this index, you should have the list of this index in your report. Methodology, it is the way what you are working with Daria. What is the methodology of some things you are doing? Just again, say the readers what type of methods you are using, how to understand what is inside of your report. This feedback, this part is important because sometimes you are interesting about some topics in the company and you don't know how you can get information more or more answers. So you should also prepare, for example, for employees like the contact person or contact web page where they can get more information and so on. So it is much more concrete the way how you should prepare concrete information in your report. I'm probably going to spend one obgave and we are going to not read but a little bit analyze some different type of sustainability report and trying to find what the companies have or not have in this report according, for example, this lecture, what we have now. Okay, now I would like to ask you if it is possible to finish a little bit early. It's like 15 minutes before because we have a section meeting and I don't want to miss this section meeting. So I would like to ask you if you have any question or recommendation to this model, what we do today and about this recommendation to the CSR reports, because it's recommendation for good CSR reports in the company. Are there any questions? Okay, so if there are any questions, I would like to thank you for the lecture and I would like to invite you for next lecture. And we are going to speak about some standards and norms from CSR. There will be some ISO 26000, ISO 40001, SA 8000 and something more. So if you are interested about this topic, you are welcome. Thank you and probably see you on Friday.